$1,000. Now, text the keyword bank to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's bank to 200-200.
710 WOR. Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Len is off today. He is marching, I believe, Joe Bartlett, in the Columbus Day Parade. Now, which ship did Len come over on? Was he on the Nina, the Pinta, or the Santa Maria?
He would have been on the Nina, I'm sure.
Yes, that's when he first came to America, on the Nina with Christopher Columbus. So Joe Bartlett is in for Len today. Good morning to you, Joe Bartlett.
Good morning, Michael.
Our big three headlines, Brett Kavanaugh used to be a judge. Now he's a Supreme Court justice. He was confirmed over the weekend, razor-thin margin in the United States Senate. He was sworn in the dead of night last night, but now he will be sworn in publicly at the White House today, I do
Very
believe.
Good.
And
yes.
He joins the court tomorrow, on Tuesday. The left has gone out of its mind, literally clawing and banging on the door of the Supreme Court. I mean, it's getting to be an unhinged time here, folks. Also in the Big Three, terrible story from upstate New York. The limo crash killing 20 people. 18 of them were in this stretch limo that went careening through a T-bone intersection and took out two bystanders. And we learned this morning from Jesse McKinley, the New York Times reporter covering this horrible crash, that most of the people were dead in the limo on impact. That must have been up.
Every time I hear this story, it's like, I can't believe it. 18 people in one car, yeah. Dead.
Unbelievable. And rounding out the big three, it is Columbus Day, or as some people call it, Indigenous Peoples Day. I'm sticking by Columbus Day, frankly.
It looks like it's not going to be a very good day for the parade either, unless it clears up quickly.
No. Yeah. Columbus Day it is, folks. Hey, before we jump to Steve Roberts, our friend who joins us every Monday at this time, I want to hear from Mark. Mark in New York, an Uber driver. We were just talking about the Uber drivers and the suicides that are caused by all the competition. Now, Mark, what are your thoughts on this?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Mark.
Any driver who says they don't make money driving for Uber is just lying to you. I worked for Uber for 4 years. I've done over 20,000 trips. I make $100,000 a year.
Wow.
How long do you have to work, Mark? I mean, you put in 12-hour days?
I put in 10-hour days Monday through Friday and about 7 hours on Saturday.
Wow.
It's a lot of driving.
That is. Do you see, how do you feel about taking the toll on the poor taxi guys with the medallions? Do you have any qualms about cutting into their business?
They did it to themselves. They wouldn't pick up certain people. They wouldn't go to Brooklyn. They wouldn't. They're on the phone all the time. Their cars are dirty. They did it to themselves.
Yeah, you got a point there, Mark.
He does have a point there.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. Thanks, Mark. Good
drive safely out there, Mark.
Take care. Yeah. All right. Hey, and now let's check in with ABC News political analyst Steve Roberts down in Washington, D.C. He joins us every Monday at this time. Good morning to you, Steve.
Hi, guys.
So what I kept hearing up to this point over the weekend, Steve, was that the Democrats are energized, fired up, ready to go. They're going to have that blue wave sweep of the midterms. But then I'm starting to hear that this fight over Kavanaugh has also ginned up the Republican base. Where are we now, Steve?
Well, to some extent, I think that's true, particularly in more conservative states. The Republicans of Donald Trump, starting at the top, called the Kavanaugh fight a gift to Republicans, because Republicans admitted that the Democrats were out-organizing them, more intensely interested in the campaign. They do think that this issue can help them, particularly among male voters. If you notice the tone of Trump, he's tried to change the whole focus from women who feel victimized by sexual assault to men who fear they'll be unfairly criticized, smeared in the words that people used about Brett Kavanaugh. And I do think, in particularly more conservative areas, this is going to work, and it is going to get some more male voters out to vote. Part of the problem for Republicans, though, is they won. Yeah. I mean, look at all of those photos of the happy Kavanaugh family being sworn in. And it's hard to keep the politics of grievance going for a month after you've actually won. And so one of the real questions is, does the feelings that they stirred up this weekend, are they still going to be there when people vote a month from now? I do think it will help the Republicans keep control of the Senate in some of the redder states where the key races are, Montana, say, Missouri is a good example, Indiana. But the key House races are going to be take place in suburban districts with a lot of college-educated white women very determined to vote Democratic. So I think it's going to help Republicans in the Senate races, not so much in the House races.
Steve, in the case of the Democrats regaining control of the House, how do they play that move? What do they do then? Do they let this Kavanaugh thing rest, or do they continue to pursue it?
Well, I think there are some real red hots in the Democratic Party who are threatening to try to impeach Judge Kavanaugh should they win the House. I think that's crazy, and it would backfire. It would they'd look like sore losers, and they and I don't think that that's going to hold a day. I think more sensible heads will prevail. But as we've discussed before, you win the House of Representatives by only one vote, just one. And you control all the committees. You have all of the power to issue subpoenas. You have the power to investigate Donald Trump and in all sorts of ways. You look at that big New York Times story, that enormous story about Trump finances. One of the things they said, we learned a lot about Trump, but we still never got his personal income taxes. First thing Democrats are going to do if they win the House is going to subpoena his income tax records. And so they would have enormous power. They could hire new staff, investigators, researchers. They could make life miserable for Donald Trump and the Republicans if they win the House by only one vote. So a sideline, trying to impeach Kavanaugh or rerun this fight would be a stupid sideline. They've got a lot of more tempting targets to go after.
Steve, curious to get your take on the impact of that New York Times story. Now, I know in the Beltway it's been played up and it was talked about on the shows all weekend long, but some people I'm talking to, just, you know, regular voters, are like, geez, I wish I could have hired his accountant. I mean, people don't like to pay their taxes. I mean, could this story be a backlash in some way? People think, well, the Trump family's pretty clever. They got out of paying the IRS. I wish I could do that.
Sure. And look, it's not a new story that Donald Trump has finagled on his taxes. And the fact is that if he had nothing to hide, he would have put out his taxes long ago. But he defied all convention and by never releasing his taxes, even though he promised to do so at one point. So, yeah, I think people, the true Trump backers are not in any way going to be disillusioned or dissuaded by these stories. I think you're absolutely right about that. But you also have to look at the fact that at the core of uneasiness with Trump, particularly among, as I keep coming back to, these college-educated women, many of whom might have voted for Trump, but they were never totally comfortable with his temperament, with his character, with his honesty. And this is the kind of story that just is one more brick on the load. In and of itself, I don't think it matters very much. But it adds to a picture of someone who is not quite trustworthy, not quite honest, not quite forthcoming, doesn't play by the rules. And so, yeah, I think there are the people who are disposed to be for him are going to say, yeah, go for it, Donald. You know, I mean, we've known all along who he is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think there are a lot of women voters. There's a fascinating Washington poll out just this morning. Let me give you two statistics. They took a poll of the 69 most closely contested House races, okay? Mm-hmm. And white men without a college degree favor Republicans by 20 points. White women with a college degree favor Democrats by 27 points. That's a swing of 47 points. So this is not just a fault line of reds versus blues, Dems versus reps. This is a fault line along education and gender lines that is very significant. It's going to play out in the fall.
Steve, what do you think happens to Susan Collins now? I was impressed with her speech in the Senate, but I see that Democrats are pledging $3 million to run against her already.
Yeah, well, they've tried to take her out before. I think in the end, if she runs again, she's probably going to survive. That was a very, very thoughtful speech. She tried to and did effectively show a lot of sympathy for Christine Blasey Ford, a lot of sympathy in general for women who have been victimized by sexual assault. But she was trying to say that whatever might have been true, there was no evidence, corroborating evidence. Corroboration has become the new buzzword in Washington, right? Mm-hmm. It's replaced collusion as the word of the year. And the fact is that she was right in saying whatever else was true, no one stepped forward to support Blasey Ford's account. So Collins, I think, has a very defensible point of view, stressing fairness to Kavanaugh. I think the Dems will run against her, but she's very well entrenched.
Steve.
And I think she's going to survive.
We got 30 seconds. Bob Menendez in New Jersey, is he in jeopardy?
I think so.
Oh,
You know, I mean, in the end, that's a very blue state. And again, there are also a lot of House races in New Jersey where a lot of Democrats think they can take 2, 3, 4 seats. But Menendez is blemished. Menendez has a lot of scars. And I would not put that solidly in a Democratic camp. This is one of those races that could really be an upset. At the same time, the Democrats take 2, 3, 4 seats back in the House from Republicans.
All right, Steve Roberts, ABC News political analyst. Thanks a lot, Steve. Appreciate it. Okay, when we come back, we got some entertainment news for you. Mitch McConnell, he's a new character in Saturday Night Live. I thought it was actually kind of, it was funny. Yeah. I got to give it. Saturday Night Live was kind of funny. We'll be talking about that and playing a bit from that. And is Lady Gaga going to go home with an Oscar? My hunch? Yep, ooh, indeed. And your next chance at $1,000 is coming up at 9:05. And don't forget, Mark Simone will be here at 10 o'clock on 710 WOR. Hey, our 2018 iHeartRadio Music Festival lived up to its name as the Super Bowl of Music. So many once-in-a-lifetime music moments, and the only way to see them is on the CW 11 tonight at 8 o'clock. One of the things you're going to see, Mariah Carey getting and keeping the crowd on their feet, hitting all the high notes in her awe-inspiring performance, the beautiful song, Emotions. And that's just one of the once-in-a-lifetime moments that happen every year at our iHeartRadio Music Festival. Relive it tonight, 8 o'clock on CW 11. You're going to see all those great moments from the iHeartRadio Music Festival. And now let's get the traffic from Cindy Wiggins. And a very good Monday morning. It is Columbus Day, everybody. I don't know if it's going to be a great weather for the parade today, Joe.
It may improve.
You think so?
It may improve.
So where's the parade? Does it end or start around Columbus Circle?
I don't know.
I know you're Irish, but your wife is Italian.
Yes. But that doesn't mean I march in the parade.
I bet you don't. I can't see you marching in any parades.
St. Patrick's Day. I've done Day parades.
On a beer float. I can see that. You know, that statue of Columbus up there in Columbus Circle, this is an interesting fact that I know.
Uh-huh.
So for many years, statues up there on the pillar, right there in the middle of Columbus Circle, somebody, this is I think back in the 1980s, noticed in pictures taken over decades since the statue was erected, that Columbus was actually facing in different directions.
What you mean? It changed?
It was changing.
No.
Columbus was changing, facing in different directions. So the city went up there and they discovered that the statue of Columbus was never anchored to the pillar it stands on.
Oh, wow.
So the rumble of the traffic, the vibrations all these years,
he was
made
twisting?
Christopher Columbus
oh,
turn
that's
around.
Cool. Wow.
And you can see pictures of him looking east, west, south, because whoever erected him up there, they forgot to put the nails in to keep his feet tight.
Oh, that's crazy. Well,
and
by
so
the
he
way.
Was just he was jiggling up there all these years and slowly turning around. He's got, you know, it's a nice view up there of the city, so can't
right,
complain.
Right, well, they're lucky it didn't fall down
exactly,
at some point.
Come collapsing on some Italian Americans.
But the parade does take place on 5th Avenue, and they march between from 43rd up to 72nd Street.
Up to 72nd.
Thank mm-hmm. you, Natalie.
You're welcome.
But don't they gather at Columbus Circle?
I don't know.
And have some Chianti?
Chianti.
In straw bottles?
Yeah, I think it kicks off at a 12.
Am I playing into every ethnic stereotype I can this morning on Italian Americans?
But if it goes up 5th Avenue, it's not going to go by Columbus Circle.
I know, but I always thought, it's the Columbus Day Parade, for heaven's sakes. You got to gather around the statue of Christopher Columbus out there.
Well, maybe he'll be facing east and you can see them on 5th Avenue from Columbus
He's
Circle.
He's waving.
That's right. Got a good view. So Saturday Night Live opened, kind of a funny opening, with the GOP senators celebrating Kavanaugh's win in the Republican locker room, snapping towels and downing brewskis.
We now go live to Dana Bash, who's with Senate Republicans.
Don, I'm here in the GOP locker room where the mood is nothing short of euphoric.
Woo! We're going to Kavanaugh this tonight! Let's rout
Kennedy.
Quite the display, Dana.
That's right, John. There are a lot of pacemakers being put to the test tonight.
That's a good line. That's funny. We have the full video up on 710WOR.com/LennandMichael. It was pretty amusing.
It was.
I laughed.
It could have been worse.
The rest of the episode, yeah. The rest of the show didn't really catch me too much, but that was funny.
Well, you got to see Beck Bennett playing Mitch McConnell, who's now a new character they've added to the parade of Republicans on Saturday Night Live. He was very good, Beck Bennett.
They do them all very well, I have to say.
Mitch McConnell.
You know, normally I don't stay up and see this stuff. I tape it. Mm-hmm. Or should say, I guess we tape. I don't know why I
record
call it.
Well, you are dating yourself. You TVO it.
Yes, all right.
TiVo?
Yeah. No, I have a DVR. I have a DVR. But anyway, I said to myself, you know what? I don't even want to watch this one.
Oh, yeah.
I did not go back to watch it.
But it's pretty funny.
That is pretty funny.
It is pretty funny. But again, pacemakers are getting a workout.
As far as Saturday Night Live is concerned.
Oh, they're totally anti-Trump and anti-Republican.
Right. You watch the cold open, the monologue, and then shut it off.
Yeah. You know what's not fun anymore? I used to love, when I was a kid, I used to love the Weekend Update.
Yes.
With Chevy Chase, mm-hmm. Jane Curtin. Yep. But I find the Weekend Updates pretty lame now when I watch them.
Yeah.
I don't like that, the guy who does the Weekend Update. He's dating Scarlett Johansson. Ah, well, I can just say that. Because I don't think he's funny. He thinks he's funny. They all think they're funny, but he's not funny. No way. No way at all. So, box office news for you. So, we had Joe Neumeier on, our movie critic, and he said Venom, this new movie, absolutely terrible, dreadful, horrible movie. He says watching the venomous snakes, whatever they are, they're superheroes or bad superheroes, anti-heroes, watching them fight is like watching Silly Putty tangle.
Yeah.
So guess what it does, the global box office.
Number one?
Yep.
Yeah.
$125 million, $80 million alone here in America. A movie that got one star or no stars from the critics does $80 million.
What do they know?
The critics or the people who bought their tickets to see Venom?
What are the critics? I don't pay any attention to critics.
Nobody pays attention to critics. That is a dead-end job these days, folks. Now,
A Star is Born, I really want to see that. As a matter of fact, I may go this afternoon.
Oh, well, that did pretty well, too. Yeah. Not as well as Venom, but it took in $42.6 million, which is good for a movie that's not about action heroes. That's about real people.
And you had a lot of good buzz about Lady Gaga?
There's a lot of talk about Lady Gaga certainly being nominated for the Oscar, but very likely winning the Oscar.
Wow,
and Bradley Cooper, too, because he directed the movie. Yeah. So good for Lady Gaga. All right, now let's get the news at 8:30 from Jeff McKinney Gaga. Good morning, Jeff.
How do you do? I don't believe I've ever been introduced quite that way before. So investigators remain on the scene. We've been talking about this terrible story all morning. Investigators are on the scene in upstate New York, a little town called Schoharie, where this limousine crashed. 20 people died, 18 of whom were inside the car. It must have crashed at some speed. This woman, she was informed by her brother that four of her nieces had died.
I don't know if the brakes failed or what happened. I don't know. I can't tell you what happened. She just told me that they had rented a limo, and he said they were all dead.
And one of the alarming things you can say about this crash is that it is the greatest number of people killed in a transportation-related crash in 10 years.
A little tidbit here coming from CBS News. One of the victims tells the Washington Post that they were supposed to be taking a bus. This group was supposed to be on a bus, but I guess the bus broke down.
This is plan B? The limo?
The limo was plan B.
Yeah.
And then one of the victims sent a text before the crash saying the limo appeared to be in terrible condition.
Mm. Just visibly?
I don't know what that meant. Wow. You know, sometimes these things are old. And a lot of question marks.
Well, the NTSB
here.
Is there because they're the ones who are going to find
so,
out.
So, you know, obviously
things.
It's a condition of the limo, the brakes.
And the condition of the driver.
To me, if I had to look at a suspicious aspect of this now, it would be the driver.
Got to be the driver.
Got to be the driver.
Here in New York City, police looking for the boyfriend of a woman who was shot and killed last night in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Sade Sanchez was shot several times. Police hunting for suspect Gabriel Rivera. And Brett Kavanaugh is taking his place in the highest court in the country. He was technically sworn in Saturday after that 50-48 vote And President Trump, though, is announcing that an official swearing-in ceremony will happen this evening.
Not official until he does it.
That's going to be a TV opportunity, right?
I'm sure.
So this will be another victory lap opportunity. So that's what's going on as we await word on what caused this crash.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. And Joe just said he's going to go take in the Lady Gaga Stars Born movie today. Is that the senior citizens matinee you'll be going to?
That's what Natalie said. How senior citizen of you.
If you give them your AARP card, I think you get a discount.
I will get a discount.
I just can't see Bartlett seeing Stars Born, frankly. It just
Why?
And basically in a theater by himself because it's a Monday afternoon. Well,
no, actually, we looked on Fandango yesterday. The only two seats were bought for the show. We wanted to go.
All right. Well, there's a wheelchair accessibility there, too, so don't worry,
you,
Joe.
Michael. Okay.
Hey, when we come back, is it Columbus Day or is it Indigenous Peoples Day? Alice Stockton Rossini, our street reporter, she's out there to find out what you think. Plus, you want $1,000. Your next chance is coming up at 9:05. On 710 WOR. And now let's get the traffic from Cindy Waitman. Happy Columbus Day, everybody, or Indigenous Peoples Day, Joe. It's generally the left wing that likes to call it Indigenous Peoples
Day. Why are you
Peoples
giving
Day.
Into that?
I'm not. I'm just, it's called sarcasm. Hello.
Okay, all right.
I said, you know, if I were a left wing tenured professor at some commie college, I'd be calling it Indigenous Peoples Day.
Oh, that's true. It's Columbus Day.
It is Columbus Day, exactly. Well, I want to find out what New Yorkers think about this, so who better to send out on her own Nina Pinta in Santa Maria than WOR's Alice Stockton Rossini. How's the sailing out there?
You know, just keep in mind, this is a very liberal city, and I am at Columbus Circle. So let's go with Indigenous Peoples Day.
Happy Indigenous Peoples Day.
Is that right? Well, same to you.
Well, thank you so much. Are you sorry to see Columbus Day go?
I don't know what you're talking about.
So, it's Columbus Day, right?
Yes.
Do you think that there are fewer people excited about Columbus Day because of Indigenous Peoples Day taking over?
Yeah, well, they need more voice in this country.
We're here at Columbus Circle and, you know, the controversy surrounding Columbus.
That's for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Wasn't such a great guy.
No, he wasn't.
So there are more activities by Indigenous people on days like today.
Well, that's good.
It's good.
Yeah, their voice needs to be heard. This country's not in a good way.
What do you mean?
Let's take a look at how the Republicans and the Democrats are fighting. Look at our president that doesn't seem to have much respect for the White House and how he acts. I could go on and on and on. And I think that's enough.
Yeah, it is enough. That's enough.
That's enough. All right. That's just one person. Let's go both ways.
I didn't know it. Is it today?
It's Indigenous Peoples Day.
As opposed to Columbus Day?
No, I think it's Columbus Day too.
Okay.
But are you sorry to see Columbus Day fading away?
It's part of our history. I don't know why we can't accept it and criticize and be critical of it at the same time. You know, just like Mr. Columbus up here. Why can't he stay here and actually have an explanatory marker explaining the context of the time? You know, I don't know why it can't be both.
So we can appreciate for what he did and criticize him.
Well, we're here. You know, yeah,
we're here.
You know, right? Exactly.
We're here. Okay. How about we just forget about Columbus?
No, we don't want to forget about Columbus, Alice. Come on.
I don't want to forget about Columbus, but hey, some people do.
It's more Indigenous Peoples Day than it is Columbus Day.
That's right, because it came and invaded America.
Invaded?
When there was already people here.
What can we do about that?
Well, there's nothing we could do at this point, but definitely taking down the Columbus Day statue would be nice to slap in the face.
All right, so what about the parade? Should we cancel that too?
Well, I mean, Italians take it as their day, so maybe we should call it something else.
Like Italian Day.
Exactly.
How about ZD Day?
Italian Day.
Italian Day.
It's Italian Day.
It's Italian Day, Joe. That's Italian. How about let's remember what day it is?
Happy Indigenous People Day.
What is that?
Is it Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure? You're sure it's Columbus Day, right?
I'm not sure.
Have a great day. Happy Indigenous Peoples Day.
Happy Indigenous Peoples Day?
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, it's, you know, the Native American celebration that goes on today to counter the whole Columbus thing.
Okay, that sounds good.
You go with that?
Yeah.
That guy's going with anything else.
Did you know it's Columbus Day?
No, I did not.
It's Columbus Day.
I hope this place is open I'm going to see then, because they might be closed.
Federal or state office?
No.
Okay, then you might be okay.
Might be
okay. You might be good. Okay. Let me know.
All right, I will. All right.
Oh, there's a guy who's on top of things, Alice.
I love how Alice
is. You can't make it up. I'm telling you, you can't make it up.
You're the ambassador for all New Yorkers. Go ask your question. Are you open today? Oh, you know, you're probably okay.
Yeah, you might be. I don't know. I don't think he knew if it was a state or federal office. But
I don't think
whatever.
He knew if it was a Monday.
I don't think anybody knew what indigenous people are.
I don't think they even know what the word indigenous means.
I know. You can't make it up. It's awesome.
Hey, Alice, what do you think?
Yes.
Where do you stand on this? Do you call it Indigenous Peoples Day, or are you still a Christopher Columbus kind of gal?
No. Oh, God, no. No. You know what? I agree with the woman who said, listen, like the whole controversy over slaves, we have to remember the day and the time that these things took place.
Exactly.
And a lot of explorers did bad things. But he still explored. He still opened up the West. So you just got to take it. We're taking history out of context constantly and trying to apply it to our times. A lot, you know, so that's kind of where I am on it. I don't think we can just say, Christopher Columbus, see you later. Plus, my husband's Italian, and he's probably listening along with my mother-in-law, so I'm going to go with Columbus.
Yeah, let's go.
Call out Columbus.
That's right. Well, I think...
We appreciate what he did and who he was.
Italian Americans are very proud, rightfully so, of Christopher Columbus, sure. And they have resisted this Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be much
more. And we're going to take down all the statues across America, and we're going to stop all the parades. But we do need to recognize what happened and what he was. And let's talk about other explorers at that time and what happened and the horrendous things that they did while still making discoveries that we would have never known about.
Yeah, so, look at Ponce de Leon. Look what he gave us.
The Fountain of Youth.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, Alice Stockton Rossini, happy Columbus Day.
And by the way,
happy Columbus Day, kids.
Columbus, Ohio, not celebrating Columbus Day is really
ridiculous. But they're not doing it because it's Indigenous Peoples Day. They're doing it because they want to celebrate Veterans Day instead and take that day off.
It's a cop out.
Yeah, they're probably not really confronting the issue.
If they wanted to, you could give the employees both days off.
You could.
Yeah, but. Hey, look at who gets Columbus Day off anyway, unless you're a federal worker.
Yeah, I've never heard of Columbus Day off.
Most people are going to go to work today.
Yeah, and most people, apparently, according to Alice's reporting, have no idea it is Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day. I don't know. Some of this political correct stuff is running amok. You can't put all the sins of the white man on poor old Christopher Columbus. Wasn't even a very good navigator. He didn't get where he was going anyway.
Well, that's true. Got to the wrong spot, but we're glad he did.
We got a statue up there in Columbus Circle of a guy who had no clue where he was. He just like bumped into an island.
Hey, this looks good.
Well, he was trying to get over to Asia, I think. He thought he could get there, but nobody had any idea. There was this big thing called, well, it wasn't called America, but this continent was in the way.
Hey, yes. Well.
And he didn't even get here. He got to the islands in the... You got the answer. Hey, let's take Larry's calling about Columbus Day. Larry from Cranford, New Jersey. Good morning, Larry. Very quickly, what's your thoughts on Columbus
Day? Yeah, good morning, guys. You know what? Nobody should be given a day off anymore for Columbus Day or a lot of these other civil holidays, President's Day and so on. The post office is almost out of business. Their only reason they're in business is to keep pensions going.
Yeah.
They should be working today. I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right, Larry. Thank you.
You know, the federal government gets an awful lot of holidays.
They certainly do.
And, you know, nobody's going to take them back.
But they probably want Columbus Day on Monday and Indigenous People Day on Tuesday, so they have a four-day work
weekend. We could create a new holiday for Indigenous people.
What would you call it?
I don't know. Pick a day. Pick a Monday that you want off.
Teepee Tuesday? Tomahawk Tuesday? Whoops. That probably will get me into a little bit of trouble. I don't know. I think we got to honor Christopher Columbus, his bravery, his that great thing in human nature to be curious about the world
and explore.
Exactly, to go out and explore, and that's what he did, and that's what all the explorers did, and many of them of course died in the process of doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't an easy route that he took,
right? And also, I don't really believe that somehow there was this Garden of Eden, that was America when the Native Americans were here before the Europeans came, that it was all wonderful and great. The tribes were fighting each other. They were scalping each other. There was a lot of ugly stuff going on. They weren't all living perfect harmony.
Yes. Had Christopher Columbus or explorers never reached America, something else would have happened.
What?
Well,
alternative history from Joe Bartlett.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, you know, what if somebody else came?
Right.
And we wouldn't be the country we are.
And we wouldn't have Columbus Circle in New York City.
Exactly.
And that's a great place. All right, when we come back, a strange, weird object washed up in South Carolina. And it may not be of this world. I hope E.T. can swim. Plus, you want $1,000? Well, your next chance is coming up at 9:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's get the traffic from Cindy Waitman. Hey, very good Monday morning to you, everybody. All right, so this is an interesting story, Joe. You know, I'm fascinated by astronomy and space exploration. I do think we should be going all over the place, just like we should be Christopher Columbus in a spacesuit. That's what we should all
do. Absolutely, absolutely.
But now a piece of wreckage, debris, came out of the ocean in South Carolina. It washed up on the shore, and it appears to be from outer space. Some people think it's space junk. Other people think it may be part of an alien spacecraft. I hope E.T. had a little life vest if it crashed into the sea there. It washed up in South Carolina's Seabrook Island, about 24 miles south of Charleston. All right, it's big, taller than a woman. There's a picture of it on our website, 710WOR.com/Lennon Michael. 710WOR.com/Lennon Michael. It's a cylinder. It looks like it's made out of concrete, but in fact, if you touch it,
spongy
it
stuff,
feels
right?
like soft
yeah.
foam, but
yeah.
they're not quite sure what kind of foam it is. You know, it's like the peanuts that
pack
things
know.
In.
It's an alien.
You think it's
Look
alien?
Look at it.
Yeah. Really? Well,
it looks like an alien spaceship.
It does?
It does.
Does
yeah,
it?
I think so.
I'm going with alien.
You're going with
alien.
You think it's, well, where are the aliens then?
They're still in the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
You think they're scuba diving? Are they snorkeling?
They've adapted to the aquatic life.
Their noses are probably snorkels. So they're swimming around.
It's very suspicious because if somebody was missing this, somebody would have known. That thing is huge.
Well, yeah, that's mine. Yeah, I lost it.
Well, but it may not be alien. It may be part of like sort of a top secret satellite that maybe the Chinese or the Russians have out there spying on us and they don't want to acknowledge that piece.
Maybe.
Well, space junk is the other thought.
I mean, what is space junk from?
Well,
what?
There's a lot of junk in space.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. There is a lot of junk floating around out there. Old satellites that aren't active anymore that are just flying around.
But you think aliens,
around.
Too.
But you think somebody would be able to identify the substance.
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah.
This could be good. Well, you know, I hope the people who found it, I hope, like, if they eat this afternoon, they don't have stomach pains and something pops out of their stomach like an alien. Remember that? That's my favorite scene.
I'm looking at it. Gotcha. It's suspicious.
Really? You think it's very E.T.-ish?
It absolutely is. You've seen it?
Yeah, it's weird.
It's very strange.
Is there, like, a little cockpit in there where people could be sitting?
It looks like there could be.
And how tall would you say these people who might fit in would be? E.T. size? Or
they're
a
very
bigger?
Little.
Little people?
Little people.
You think they're green?
Of course, they gotta be.
With big bug eyes?
Or one eye.
Or one eye. One-eyed aliens.
Now, do you believe in life other than Earth, Michael?
I do believe that there probably is life, but I don't believe that it's... beings. I think it's probably amino acids, the building blocks of life. I don't really
You look
see
up in the sky, you see all those
there.
Stars up there. There's nothing else out there?
Most of them are just dead pieces of rock, I'm afraid.
No.
We are alone, Joe.
All of that that's up there is dead rock?
All there is us?
I kind of think.
Get out of here.
I think there is life. I think they're the building blocks of life. I think they're amino acids. I think we'll find things like that. Maybe even on Mars where they found frozen water, things like that. It's a possibility, but I don't think you're going to find... You know, E.T. up there riding over the moon on his bicycle to a John Williams theme song.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I'm not going to argue with that.
But I'd rather find E.T. though than the alien in Aliens. I don't want one of those big things that has a tongue that shoots out at you and eats your brain.
Oh, I'm sure they're all friendly. Don't worry about it.
Check out this bit of space debris, or maybe it is an alien object, on our website, 710WOR.com/Lennon Michael. 710WOR.com/Lennon Michael. We may not be alone. Now, we got a hurricane coming, too, right? Michael,
it's called?
Named after me, of course.
It's a tropical storm, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael's going to be a problem, probably for
Florida. He's been
Florida.
A problem for quite a bit around here for Len, I tell you that.
Oh, boy, I'm going to put this warning out for Len. Tropical storm, Michael, brewing, and he's headed for Florida. Actually, the Florida Panhandle is what they say at the moment. The governor of Florida said he is planning to declare a state of emergency. It's for counties in the panhandle. The problem I see is after it hits the Florida panhandle, it's going to veer a little east and go back into the Carolinas with more rain.
Oh, they already got hit once there.
They are absolutely soaked. Both of the Carolinas are soaked from Hurricane Florence.
Well, so you were just down there, right?
Yeah.
Did you notice the damage?
I was in Hilton Head, which is farther south, and it didn't really get impacted by Florence. But further north and in northern parts of South Carolina, when I was leaving, like almost 2 weeks ago, they were still having flooding issues.
Wow. So this could just add more rain coming in.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, Hurricane Michael headed to the panhandle, and then you think it's going to veer right?
Well, landfall as early as Wednesday morning, and it's probably going to be a hurricane by the time it gets to Florida.
Mm. All right, well, we'll keep an eye out for it. All right, when we come back, are the Democrats becoming anti-Israel? Very interesting story in the New York Times that say some of those hardcore lefties in the Democratic Party are anti-Israel. Some of them, I wonder if they're drifting to anti-Semitism. We're going to get into that, but first, let's get the news at 9 o'clock.